the Fanboy Planet podcast number one, Michael Goodson and Derek McCaw.
Howdy.
After seeing Superman Returns, coming to you from the theater lobby, those loud sounds in the background, that'd be the arcade. And so, Michael.
Yes, Derek. Hello. Good to see you. You're looking well.
Must you? Anyway.
Your erection has died down, so the movie's over, I can tell.
I was really, really hoping you wouldn't say something like that, but there you go.
It was the Aquaman pajamas, wasn't it?
It was. The Aquaman pajamas, a little jarring in Superman Returns, and yet it's the kind of thing where I know that everyone around me says, you think too much, Derek, and it's okay for Superman to live in a world in which Aquaman's only a cartoon character.
True.
It's not okay. It's not okay.
So, early reviews are in. I think we both agree that it's a solid movie.
Very solid movie.
But a little disappointing in its lack of sheer brilliance.
Right. Any other filmmaker besides Bryan Singer made this would be going, wow, totally looking forward to the next one. The guy that did X-Men 3, whose name I'm totally blanking on right now.
Ratner.
Brett Ratner had done this, I go, wow, Brett Ratner, what a surprisingly good filmmaker.
If Mick G or the Charlie's Angels guy had done this.
If Mick G had done this.
Oscar.
I'd have thought, wow, what was he eating that day? Because that was totally out of character.
I would have thought they brought in Bryan Singer and didn't give him credit.
Yes. But because they did bring in Bryan Singer and gave him credit, I would say that it was really good. It was just a little bit too self-referential. I thought it was really nice that they honored people like Noelle Neal and Jack Larson by giving them roles and by trying to tie it into the franchise. And yet at a certain point, the constant reminders that that the Richard Donner film had been there a few times, they actually say the same lines of dialogue. They find reasons to do that.
Here's my problem with it. I made the mistake of not rewatching one or two of the original Superman. So when it started, even though I'm pretty familiar with Superman, I had forgotten minor details. I had forgotten that Lois Lane doesn't know that Clark Kent is Superman. So I was very confused when they were all standing around, Perry White, mm-hmm. Clark was in the same room, and I went, but why aren't they looking at each other? Why isn't she smoldering? You know, that type of stuff. So as an introductory film for a new generation of Superman fans, some of the bits that they skip or take for granted that you know or don't know might be lost.
Right. That's a very good point. I think that perhaps daringly or perhaps dangerously, Bryan Singer also took the same pacing as the original Donner films, which, when I tell you, when I was 11, and I'm dating myself, when I was 11 and saw that in the theater, I thought, wow, this is great, but can we get to Superman? And I know that for my kids, who my son really likes Superman, it's get to Superman, and it takes a while. But when Superman's on screen, it's some pretty impressive stuff.
Absolutely. The only thing I didn't... I loved Clark. I loved Brandon Routh as Clark. I thought Clark was a dead-on impression of Christopher Reeve doing Clark. Mm-hmm. Superman, and this is probably a fault of the script, was not as dynamic, not as charming, not as engaging. You know, that whole, don't worry, I've got you. Who's got you? You know,
right, right.
Those moments weren't there. There was a lot of silence.
Because he's trying, this is a sulky Superman. This really is, as a date movie, this is going to be incredible. You can totally convince your girlfriend or wife that she wants to see a Superman film, which many already think that, but this really is one that satisfies from the chick flick perspective as well. It's a very sensitive, weepy Superman. A little bit of a super stalker, actually. I was a little disturbed that he, early on in the film, goes to Lois's home and just x-rays and watches the family.
And he checks her out through her dress, too.
Well, but that was for health reasons.
Sure.
Sure.
The other thought that kept running through my mind the whole movie was a flashback to you and I watching Batman Begins, and within the first 5 minutes of that movie, I knew this is the dream Batman movie I have lived for. And just as it went on, it was like it can't get better. They can't keep this pace going. There's no way that this film is going from start to finish going to be perfect. Stop it right now. Just stop it. And there were no moments in this film like that.
Right. At the end of Batman Begins, I think both of us almost clapped our hands bloody.
Yes.
And would have sat through it immediately.
Every time there was just that oh my gosh, fanboy moment in Batman, you and I look at each other and giggle like men is what we do. Like men who really like Batman. But at no point did we turn and giggle during...
No,
laugh heartily during this movie.
Not really, no.
But
no.
Still, I mean, as much as we're picking on it, it's because it was not brilliant. It was not Five Planets and the Comet, which is the only time we've ever done that.
Right,
this was for Batman.
Yeah,
it was a solid four. I want to see another. It leaves open a setting for another.
And I will watch this more than once, I have no doubt, because what we did not get to see tonight were the half hour of scenes in 3D that if you go see it on the IMAX screen, and look, wow, I just saw Michael's nipples poke through his shirt.
Ooh.
And he's got two layers on.
Ooh.
Yes.
One of them's mesh, though.
Yes. Oh, okay, well, to be fair, it breathes better. But, I mean, the action scenes, I think, in 3D would be really astounding. And so I really do want to see that, which is probably all part of Bryan Singer's plan, that bastard. So there we go.
There you go.
Are we through? All right. So.
Ba-ba-boy, ba-ba-boy.
What a jerk. All right.